Let's read from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached to thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like the way that this is said here. It says, with one mind, and it says, with one mouth. I've heard, you know, some people speak out of both corners of their mouth. Since it's been said that some folks' tongue is cut loose at both ends and tied in the middle. You heard of being double-tongued. It says here that we should be one mind and one mouth. And it says in chapter 14, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. But whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. He says a little further along here, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended. Or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, so then, I want to ask a question or two and just take my time and talk with you a few minutes tonight. It's raining outside. You don't need to go out in the rain. And, if you went home, you'd probably just have to sit around or got out in the car. Too favorable driving right now. So maybe I can talk to you a few minutes. First of all, we want to dwell just a few minutes on the thought, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So in this we see what is sin and what is not sin. This is why that the Bible says, the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. His justification is by faith. God purifies his heart by faith. And we are preachers of the faith. Therefore, we realize that it's not eats and drinks. It's not putting away the filth of the flesh. It is the answer of a good conscience toward God, as we said this morning. Now, I asked my wife, I said, Betty, can you tell me what I preached? And she said, you preached a lot of things. Well, that didn't help none. I said, Betty, what was the theme of my preaching? Well, I think somebody come along about that time and she didn't get to answer me. But a lot of times the different ones that name the tapes, they're not really listening. They don't really sum it up as to get the theme of what we're saying. And so then the name is not always appropriate for the tape. Occasionally I'll change it if it's something special that I think that it ought to be. See, but I was asking Betty the question that I'm going to ask you. What did I preach this morning? You know, like somebody, on occasion I heard this, and suddenly I said, well, just talking about the good time they had. Teddy said, well, what did the preacher preach on? They said, well, I said, really, I don't know. So, but I know one thing. We shouted and praised the Lord, and we had a good time today. Well, I'm not too sure. You know, maybe it's just me, but I'm not too sure about that part about praising God. You know, the Lord said, I praise you in a good thing, or that Paul did. But I'm not too sure. When you don't have enough concern to know what God is saying, and you didn't listen well enough to even know what he was talking about while he was talking, I'm not too sure you was praising God. You might have been doing something. You might have been dancing. You might have been doing all kinds of things. But I'm thoroughly convinced it had nothing to do with praising God. It was just your emotional outburst, you know. But if you're praising God, you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Because that's what God tells you to do. And to praise God, the Bible said, praise to God. It's comely for the upright. And if you was listening to a man to see what he had done, and he was telling you what he had done, and you was going to praise him in what he had done, in that you did not know, but you was going to listen, I got a feeling if you never listened that your praises would be misdirected. If any praises came, that they wouldn't be to him, because you wouldn't even know what he'd done. So, I'm asking you the question, what did I minister on this morning? David would say, Brother Pike, you ministered on many things. Of course we do. The Bible said in many things we offend all. And sometimes we're rude in speech, not in knowledge, but rude in speech. But I am saying this, that this morning from my heart, as God was speaking to you, he was bringing forth a theme, as he always does. And the theme of what I said this morning was as to an ultimatum to your justification, as to your salvation or your eternal life. And if you did not get it, then you missed the whole thing. You know, you missed the whole thing. And it's like, for instance, if I was up here and I was going to introduce a great star, a celebrity, and he was going to be up here and talk 15 minutes, and I took 2 hours to introduce him, and I took 2 hours to talk about him after that he had finished his speech, and you sat and heard my 2 hours before and after, but you happened to step out for 15 minutes just before he came up, and then you return shortly after, you would have missed everything. Isn't that right? That's the way you can do in church. You can listen, and having ears to hear, Jesus said, still you won't hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Having eyes to see, the Bible said, you still won't see the things that the Father is doing in that he is a Spirit. So then I ask you, what did I minister on this morning? And here we are back to the same thing tonight. Sometimes I kind of get a rerun or come back to something to kind of to help you to get a little understanding of what has been previously said. So it says here, that is not of faith is sin. Now this is the great man of God that received the revelation. That's our overseer. He knows what he's talking about. So he says, that is not of faith, this sin. I could say, Paul, what's that got to do? What has my believing got to do with me doing wrong? If I go out here and I commit wrong, then Paul, I've sinned. Why is it that you say it's my believing? What's that got to do with it? But see, that's what I was trying to tell you this morning. That with the going out of the Old Testament and the coming in with the new covenant, that there is a new day. There is a new thing. We are a new people. We are not they that are under the law. We are not transgressors of the law, in that transgression of the law is sin. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if transgression of the law is sin, as to the Old Testament, then Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, then transgression of the law is still sin today. And that would be true. So someone would say, for me to sin is to transgress the law. And I say again, that is true. Hasn't changed. Same thing. When you transgress the law, you are a sinner. When you sin, you die. When you die, you go to hell. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. No change. God the same to every generation. But I am trying to tell you this. The Bible said it's pertaining to the old covenant, the law, that the comma thereunto has to offer up the blood of bulls and goats to the priest to make intercession, whatever it might be. He said the comma thereunto could never be made perfect. That is why I remind you again that they that died under the law died in the faith as not having received the promise, but embraced this thing as to what God had promised, confessing that they were pilgrims and strangers and they were headed for another city. Even Abraham, the Old Testament Abraham, searched for a city. That's why he left the land of his kindred. He searched for a city whose builder and maker is God. So then Paul said, I'm the wise master builder. I'm going to build a city. I'm going to do it because it's not me living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God, so I'm a wise master builder. I've received the blueprint. I've received the revelation. And you're my lively stones that I'm going to use, and I'm going to build you upon the foundation of the apostolic leaders. These 12 foundations of that beautiful city. And other foundations can no man lay. Jesus laid these foundations so I could build on them. And you're going to build on them. And he said, let every man take heed how he build thereon, for the day he's going to try his works. And the Bible says that if his works are burned, he's going to suffer loss. Even though he himself be saved as that by fire. Whereas the Bible speaks of running Jacob through the fire, some going through the fire. So he'll put some through the fire. But in that Jacob's work has not pleased God. The Jews' works has not pleased God. They're going to suffer a great loss. And they're not going to benefit with the things that some of the Gentiles are going to benefit with, or some of the great Jewish men like Paul will benefit with. So, when we see this, we know that the Old Testament law was not given for salvation. God did not give it for salvation. But it was given to us that it might reveal the impurities of our life, to let us know that we were sinners and that we were contrary to God, and that these laws are the measurements of God as to His righteous way of living. And that in this, that He hath measured Himself and given us those laws of righteousness. And when we measure ourselves, we find that we are altogether vanity and corrupt and transgressors. And as Paul said, I was alive without the knowledge of the law, or until the law came. When the law came, sin revived and I died. Or that is to say, we see then that the comma thereunto could never be made perfect. Because the law was not to bring perfection, it was to bring condemnation. It was to reveal to us our sins, in that it was to show us that within our bodies there dwell no good thing. And I say again, as I referred to it this morning, Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So then the body was under the law, because the spirit cannot be under the law, because the laws were natural, and they were given for natural reasonings. And this is why that the Jews, when Jesus came, he found them keeping the tradition of the elders, because it was a natural law that was imposed upon them. Not that the law of God is natural, for it is spiritual. But we are carnal, sold unto sin. And therefore, as a carnal being, we cannot fulfill that which pertains to a spiritual law. So then, the Jews really did not fulfill the law. Paul said, you have the law and none of you keep it. And the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of it. But you that are Gentiles, when you are born again, have the Spirit of Christ, which fulfilled the law as to God being able to keep his own law and then giving the righteousness of the law to us as a gift unto eternal life. Christ being our righteousness. The Bible said, him being our life, when he our life shall appear. So then in this with the Jews, they had only obtained under the carnal ordinances, the keeping of carnality. And when Jesus came, all they had was the tradition of the elders, because they were not spiritual. So their body could not conform to that. That was spiritual. So all they did was reproach God. But when Jesus came, he said, I am of the Spirit. The first man Adam made a living soul, but the second man Adam made a quickening spirit. Therefore, he fulfilled the spiritual part of the law. He folded up the law and laid it away and rebuked the Jews for their foolishness of keeping the tradition of the elders and transgressing the laws of God. And they began to realize how blind they were. So, when we look at it from our hearts, we keep the law. We keep the righteousness of the law. And therefore we have the righteousness of the law. And God has saved us by his word of judgment upon Jesus. So we have eternal life. Because we have the Spirit of Christ, which kept the law. And in that the Spirit of Christ is now within us through new birth, that means that you are no longer who you was, as to the sinner of death. But you are now the child of righteousness, as to the son of the oath, or that is the eternal one, as to Christ Jesus. You are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, but as to the spirit that's on the inside of you, then that's what you are. And that's why Jesus said, Elias has come already. For John came in the spirit of Elias, which was the Christ of that hour that was in Elias, as to that frame of mind. And so it was that John stayed in the wilderness. See, so then as to whatever spirit, that's what you are. If a spirit of a lion could enter into you, you'd become a lion. Though you'd be a funny looking lion, but you'd become a lion. You'd growl and you'd claw and you'd bite and you'd drink blood and you'd eat and you'd tear. So we see that whatever the nature of a thing is, that will make you to conform to that image. If I take on the nature of Jesus Christ, in that the Bible said we're partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus, if I take on the divine nature of the Lord Jesus in my heart, then it's going to make my bodily image over a period of time conform to the glorious Son of God image that was on the mountain with Moses and Elijah when his raiment glistened and when he was brighter than the noonday sun. See, it's going to change my body for wisdom as to the word, as to the spirit, as to the light most precious from within. Will break forth from glory to glory and faith to faith from the inner parts of my body into the genetics of my body. And as it made Stephen's face to shine, Moses' face to shine, it'll make my face to shine. For the Bible said, wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. So then we see that there has been a change from the law. And today, we are not under the law. I am not under the law because I'm dead to the law by the body of Jesus. And a dead man is not under the law. Neither can a dead man transgress the law. So then by the resurrection of Jesus, he was delivered, as we say, from my offenses as to the image of sin. And he went down into the chambers of the fire. And the Bible said God suffered not his Holy One to remain in hell, nor his body that is to see corruption, his soul to remain in hell, nor his body to see corruption. So when his soul went into hell, that ended it for me. My soul doesn't have to go to hell. That's why I cannot die. Jesus died for me. That was death when he went into hell. Because his spirit had to separate from the eternal God. That's why I cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So then, for God to forsake him, that his soul may go into hell, that means that God will never have to forsake me, that my soul go into hell. So it is said that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I am with thee even until the end of the world. Even when the angel came to me in vision and put the ring on my finger, and yet it wasn't the angel, it was Jesus. When he came, it's the angel of the Lord, and he said, I'll not leave thee and I'll not forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need, which I found him to do that no matter where I went, no matter what the circumstances was, no matter what the problems was, he's always been with me just like he promised. Now, so the Old Testament is gone. Now, what does the Bible say as to the change? He said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. To wit, that God the Spirit was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to himself through that body of sacrifice, not imputing our trespasses unto us. So then, who is the man that God will not impute sin unto? The Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin unto, whose sins are forgiven, his trespasses, his sins, his wrongs are covered by the blood. For charity as to the love of God covereth the multitude of sins. And where sin did abound, the Bible said, grace doth much more abound. So then he loved us while we were yet in our sins, gave Jesus to die for us, and our sins are beneath the blood, and they are no more. They are no more. And he that is born of God cannot sin. Because to sin you have to transgress the law. And to you there is no law. For the law is folded up and laid away by the body of Jesus. You're dead to the law and the law is dead to you. You're dead to the world and the world is dead to you. By the body of the Lord Jesus. You that have been baptized into Christ have literally put on Christ. That is to say, you are now the body of the Lord, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, in the sight of God. So then that means that you cannot sin. It's not a matter that you may not sin. I try to impress this upon your mind. Or if I hold tight, I won't sin. It's not that at all. Or if I hold on, I won't sin. That has nothing to do with it. It works just in the reverse. You will hold on because you can't sin. The reason that you can hold on is because he took your sins away. As he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. He is simply saying that only he that is born again will be able to endure to the end. But no matter how religious you are, what confession you make, even as Esau to seek repentance with tears, you're not going to find it because it's not given to you through repentance. It's given to you through foreknowledge of God, as to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and your names wrote down in the Lamb's book of life. So then, if Christ is in you as to a hope of glory, you will do good, you will do holy, you will do righteous, you will go about doing all things good and well, because it is not you that liveth, but Christ. And you will be about your Father's business. And if you vary from that or deviate from that, and you have the love of the world in you, and your interest is in the things of the world, it's simple. You've never been born again. You don't have the nature of Jesus. You've never been born again. You still have the love, ambition, and desire for success in this world and the things of this world, so God isn't there. You may be a believer, a very devout believer. May do that. Even as Cain that offered a sacrifice. But murder was in his heart, even as it was with Saul being a king. But yet, murder was in his heart. So, I'm saying that that which is not of faith is sin. Because there is, as Paul said, if there's a change of the law, as from law to grace, that means there has to be a change of the priesthood, as from the priest of the Old Testament to the ministry of the New Testament. So today your priest, that's your ministry. And they are set there for the perfecting of your faith. Even as the priest of old was set there for the perfecting of their works. So then we are an example to you today as to believing. I want to be perfect before God because the Bible said for me to go on to perfection. Speaking of my body. My body, I go on to perfect my body. Not that it has anything to do with my salvation. But the thing is, I want a full reward. And as to a full surrender of my body comes a full reward from God. I may stumble and stagger. I may not master it the way that Jesus did, but that's why Jesus died, to make up for my slackness. He's the missing link in the chain when my chain becomes weak. So then I have an unbroken chain of righteousness because of Him. I'm therefore considered perfect by His perfectness. Because my justification of perfectness is not for me to go on to perfection, as to what God has wrought for me in Christ Jesus. For the Bible emphatically states that God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus. Therefore, if God has perfected forever, how can I go on to perfection? See, that is His works. And the Bible said, purifying my heart by faith. Faith of Jesus Christ, He said, which needs no works. This morning the theme of my thought was the faith of Jesus Christ. Being shut up under the tutors as under the law, unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. That is, under the faith of Jesus Christ, which after Calvary would be made known to the people. That under the law the cometh thereunto could never be perfect. God, finding fault with that covenant, folded it up and laid it away. But with this covenant, it is said, not as unto a priest that has to offer an offering for himself before he can offer an offering for me, but rather as to the Son of the oath, which is Jesus, being an eternal God, and thy kingdom and throne, O God, as he called Jesus, is forever after the order of Melchizedek, who is without beginning and end, mother or father. So then we see that he is the Son of the oath, and in him all things are made perfect. For in the Old Testament, I remind you again, that it was with the regularity that sin came to the mind of God. And he was reminded continually of the sin. Now, if he was going to marry a woman that had been a harlot, even if you went that far as it was with the prophet, but married one for the purpose of God, most assuredly, one thing you'd want to do is black out that part of your life back there. Because if that woman has been a harlot, you wouldn't want to live with her, because every day you looked at her, you'd think of her dirty, trashy way. See, you'd want to kill out that part of the woman. Like a person getting born again. The Bible said some of you were harlots, but when you were born again, you're not a harlot anymore. That's the part that's dead and gone and buried to never be remembered. If you don't go back to it and your mind is to desire or to think back there or to reminisce in that, then you are just as pure a virgin as anybody. As is a virgin of our day. That is to say that if you go back there to that with your thoughts, as they that turned back into Egypt in their heart, then are ye the dog and the pig that's wallowing in the mire, lapping your vomit. See, you're not born again. You don't have anything from God. You're just as trash as you can be. Because serving God is a mind, it's a spirit, it's a way of life. And this spirit of yours must be sanctified and purified from all of the things of the time of its ignorance, now that it's come into understanding. And thus your spirit becomes one with His spirit. And then it is Him, the sanctified one, the holy one, the one that is purified and swallowed up your sin through the experience of Calvary by His own body, to take the sins of the woman that was found in adultery and say, I forgive thee. Or that is, I'm going to take your sins to Calvary. You're free. But nobody else could do that for you but me. And now you're free. Go thy way and sin no more. That is, the Bible said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So then someone would say, but how can I sin, Brother Pike? You know, if I'm dead to the law. It is very obvious here, Jesus had never died for the remission of sin when he spoke to her. They're under the law and still a transgressor of the law. As to sin, that is to say, you can, when we create the right kind of atmosphere, the Lord does by Spirit, to illuminate you like He did Adam and Eve, then you can come in with a good mind, a clean mind, taste of the Word of God, the power of the world to come, and be made partakers of the Holy Ghost so far as the illumination. And then go back out, the sow to her wallowing in the mire after she's been washed, and the dog to his vomit. And your mind can go right back out to the thoughts and desires of those things. See, it's not a matter of you being dead to the law. You never have been born again. You just come in and saw it and walked away from it. But you that are born again, you don't have to worry about that. There's no way you can fall away. He that can do these things as to the nature of these things, the Bible said he can never fall. So make your calling and election sure by trying to do those things as to present the fruits of the Spirit in your body, your life. So then you see that you're born again, you cannot fall because you cannot sin. So you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to have a desire to go back out there. You'll be tempted as anybody else, and things will come to your mind, and things will come to your heart to present themselves, but not one time will you ever let one thought in. Not one thought will you ever let in. Somebody says, "Oh, but Brother Pike, I love the Lord, but I've let some thoughts in." No. No, you haven't. Not if you're born again. See, the Bible teaches he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Which I know that that means that he keeps himself through the righteousness of God. In that God has sealed his spirit unto the day of redemption, and Satan cannot get near that light precious. See, but the thing is, when you have a desire in your heart to go to do evil, then you are evil. And you are a sinner. And you don't have God. I don't care if you've been in religion 15 years. You've never been born again. If you have one desire in your heart to do evil, then you are corrupt. And you do not have salvation. And if you proceed to follow that desire that has come, then it's just the proof that you're cut off. That's why the Bible said, if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us, though they were with us. The Bible said all that came out of Egypt was not of Isaac or the seed of faith, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. Many of them turned back into the world in their heart. I've got people at Bethlehem that's done turned back in their hearts for homes, for cars, for businesses, for money. For the different things of being with their family, they've done got clear out of the things of God and got fleshly to want to be with their family rather than being with their brothers and sisters. For the Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brothers and the sisters and we want to be with them. But you love your own flesh. You want to be with your own flesh. I say that if I'm to love my own flesh, let my own flesh come over to where I'm at. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, what if they won't do that?" It's just too bad. Let's give the Lord a hand. Just too bad. They're not part of my family. Somebody says, "But bless God, that's my flesh and blood." Well, bless God, as you say, maybe it is, but it ain't my flesh and blood. I'm flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And I've got his blood. And I'm in a new family. And I'm in a new generation. I've been regenerated. See, so you can do that if you want to. I feel this way. That now that we know that the faith has come, then we are not under the law as to a transgressor. We are sanctified as of the faith which sanctifies me. So I was kept under the tutors, different nothing from a child, though I be Lord of all, as to the inheritance. So then now I've left the land of bondage, and I am now in the land of Canaan. So I've crossed over the Jordan of death as to the carnal mind and reasoning. And I now have a new family. And I welcome all of my natural family to come and let whosoever will come. But as it was said to Jesus, and when the mother came, and when some of the relatives came and they said, "Your relative wants to see you," or "Your mother wants to see you." Jesus said, "Who's my mother? They that do the will of my Father which is in heaven." And that's the way I feel, see. When it comes to my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, they are those that dwell in heaven. They are those that do the will of my Father. That's my family. So then if you can find all that fellowship out here with them kind of people, and you just love to party with them and go be with them and do those things, then that means that you're of the world and you love the things of the world. And your heart will go to the things of the world and you won't put God first in your life. You'll go to the table first. You'll go to the cafe first. You'll go to the ball games first. You'll go to the laughing and joking. You'll go to the buying and the selling. You'll go to the swindling. You'll go to the cheating. You'll go to the frolic. You'll go to your natural relatives. Everything that you plan will be around the flesh. For Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh, and you're of the mind of death, which is the carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is to have the mind of Christ as life and peace. So then if you do those things and all of your plans is your salary and your job and your car and your home and your apartment and your family and all these things, and then when you get through with that, you consider God, then that means you're not born again. But he that loveth the Lord seeketh first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he trusteth God for the other. He trusteth God for the other. Somebody said, well, what if I did something for God and I couldn't get around to my natural? It'd be bad, you'd be in trouble with the natural. But you'd be all right with the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, you ain't supposed to do that. But the little widow gave her living. Jesus said, now that's the way to do it. She gave more than all the rest. And now the little widow gave her last cake that she had for her son. Gave it to God. Somebody says, yes, but there's no buts about it. It was faith. That took faith to take her last little cake. That took faith to give it to the man of God to believe that God was going to do something. It took faith for that little widow to give her living. But folks, you're not operating on faith, and you know you're not. And besides that, look at both little widows. Which one of them gave out and starved to death? Which one of them had problems and couldn't meet their bills in the natural? Every man that seeks God first as an act of faith, he always meets his bills in the natural when the other man doesn't meet his. As a matter of fact, I had as of tomorrow $11,000 or somewhere in the neighborhood to meet. And I told you as a testimony this morning, by faith, believing. And this evening came the $11,000. Let's give the Lord a hand. So I put God first and God met my need. Always he does that. Because that's the way that he works. That's the way that God works. And that's the way it should be with you and I. When we get so concerned about God's things that we won't let it leak up here while the preacher's trying to preach on the sacred day. And we won't have to set the buckets out where the carpet is run. To where we'll be up there. We'll be fixing the leaks and we won't just have a Brother Atlee trying to do it. And we'll be up there putting a new top on and we'll be contributing instead of buying homes and cars and houses and the other things when in the early church they sold all that they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet to publish the gospel and broke bread from house to house with singleness of heart, believing in Christ. Somebody would say, are you speaking in respect of want? Why should I? I just told you what God done for me today. Why should I bother if you gave all you had? You couldn't help me along those lines. See, the need is too great. Somebody said, well, I think if we all got together, we could raise $11,000. Well, you might be able to do it. That would be good. That would be proof you've been holding out on the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. You should have done give it a long time ago. But nevertheless, if you could, see, I need more than that. I need hundreds of thousands of dollars. See, so you'd still run into a problem. But at any rate, I thank God for what you do, and I'm not speaking in respect of want. I have faith in God. He promised to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory, which he has continually done. But here we see a thing of faith. Faith, honest God. That's why I talk about faith so much. It can heal you. It can save you. It can supply your needs. It can take you into that eternal world of joy and happiness. It can defeat your problems. Like as of even Junior, my grandson, that got out of balance, got into a little problem. He remembered the great miracle that God worked. And the man was so angry that with the prosecutor. He was so bitter. But yet God, we testified of it beforehand and it worked. It worked. You remember when we stood up here in the courthouse and this lawyer raised up against us and told us what he'd do. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. Right around in the judge's place. I said, let me tell you something. He said, I'll take the law and you take God and we'll see who wins out. I said, let me tell you what happened. I said, I'm going to win out. You're going to lose. And you know what happened? He lost out and I won. Because that's the way that faith works. He will give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in the Lord. So then when we see this great mighty thing that God has given into your hands as Christians, as individuals, this faith under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father and then comes the faith. So then under tutors until the coming of the faith. And now the faith is here. Somebody that says the faith as I believe. His faith by which you're sanctified. Read your Bible now. You'll find out it's his faith that needs no works. And God has made you perfect. So then I say again, we should surrender our bodies, bring our bodies into a perfect conformity, going on to perfection, to what we call a full reward, that it might be Christ living within us and not ourselves, and that this body should be completely a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, even to the extent that not one thought of yours is left, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That it's Him and not you, and that you're dead. You don't think no more. You don't see no more. You know, one time I thought I was going to die. When the Lord struck me down and turned me around as a real young fella. And when He struck me down, it ruined me. It wrecked me. And I thought I was going to die. And I'd heard people talk about death, you know, and joke about death. And I'd joke with them. You know, I didn't think nothing about it. But when death really came around, it was a different situation altogether. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me like it never had dawned on me before. I never thought of death like this. I thought, oh my God, I ain't going to see no more. I ain't going to hear no more. I ain't going to taste no more. I ain't going to feel no more. I thought, oh my God, I ain't even going to think no more. And I thought, now that's death. And folks, that's right. The dead know not anything, David said. So then, I begin to think of death a little bit different. And I begin to take a little more precaution and think of that thing on a different scale. But anyway, we pass from death into life, never to come into condemnation. But we do need to yield this body, in that it is the body of the Lord Jesus. It is not your body anymore. Your body's dead and gone because of sin. Then why do you try to run this body? Why do you try to let the devil in to tell you what to do and who you're going to be and what you're going to be in the world as to a celebrity or have businesses or your relatives and all these kind of things? Why do you do that? If it's His body, why do you mess with His body? For you are His body, members in particular. But I say again, just so much as you allow as to save your life here by having the eating and drinking in homes and whatever, it's true that you lost your life in Christ. No need to try to make you believe that you've got it. You cannot have both of them. God will not give you both of them. I've told you this over and over. You give up your life here that you may gain your life there. And if you save your life here, then you lose your life there. That's what the Bible says. So then you cannot have both of them. It is a true fact that if I come to God, and if I serve God, and I let God add unto me daily such as He will, He not only has given me this world that belongs to me in its entirety, but He's given me all of heaven and eternity. It is mine for godliness. It's profitable for this world and for the world to come. But when it is a decision, it's you having your work, having your home, having your cars, and these kind of things, you absolutely have lost out with God. You're leaning to your own understanding when every thought is supposed to be gone of you. If every thought is not gone of you, then you're not dead. You might be partially dead, but you're not dead. You are not dead. So this means that the Bible is right when it said, few there be that find it, and straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. He said, strive, that is, make a special effort to do these things the preacher's telling you, to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall try and make an effort and shall not be able. They'll make an effort. They'll try. They'll study. They'll pray. They'll fast. They'll do all kinds of things and still won't make it in. So then it's not of him that runneth that worketh. It's up to God that calleth. So then we can't rise up and say, well, bless God, preacher. I'll show you. I'll do this. And I'll fast my way in. I'll show you God will accept me. Had nothing to do with it. It's strictly by it. Faith in God is to whosoever He will give it to. He gives it, it's up to Him. And the Bible said He gives more grace to the humble. So then it's up to Him. You don't get it any other way. That's why I tell you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due season. So you see, that but is not of faith is sin. I'd love to elaborate on this about an hour. But I'm going to try to stop right here because I said some things concerning this morning. That which is not of faith is sin. Under the law, it was transgression of the law that was sin. That's over. That's folded away. That's gone. And now it is up to your believing. See, the seed, which is the word of faith, is in your heart. And you cannot disbelieve because that word of faith, which is God the seed, in that the Word was made flesh as to His Son. And His Son, the seed, the faith Word, is in you, assuring your heart at all times that you belong to God in spite of your stumbling. Not as to an intellectual concept in the head of just being a believer and trying to convince yourself of something that isn't there while you gnaw on the old bone of the world and let your vomit. But that real, genuine conviction, as Mary the conception divine to Christ be formed within you, Paul said, that is, you've conceived of divinity. Because you've set yourself aside as Mary as a virgin from the world and refused to have anything to do with it as to the love of the world or to go out into the world. And therefore you've had a divine conception as to the overshadowing of the illumination of the great Spirit of God. And now there's something in there that repels sin. And it tells you that you are a child of God, and you feel that, and you know that, and you rejoice in that. And with all of your stumblings and staggerings, you know that you did not have any desire to do that, nor any conscience of sin. So then we believe ourselves unto righteousness, for the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the lips confession is made unto salvation, for from the heart the mouth speaketh. And this is the way that it takes up its abode within us. And so then we are today purified by faith. And we are a child of God by faith, because faith has now come. And we are the recipients of faith. Can you stand with me? I hope then you understand the theme of my thought this morning and tonight. And that is to bring to you the gospel of Jesus Christ without respect of person. Paul said, not shunning to declare the full counsel of God unto you, and to let you know that it is a work, an act of God. And even though there's charismatics that go out yonder and do all kind of things, and they feel that they're justified by faith, they are only the sow wallowing in the mire and the dog lapping their vomits. I know there's good people among them, but I'm speaking of the charismatic move in general, what they call charisma. So, that means that to have this confidence, to be able to take hold of this faith as to his faith unto justification, that we're going to have to surrender this body entirely to him and conform to his mind and conform to his way and do everything we can to please him. And then when we stumble, it's all taken care of. But to try to please him, and then the confidence will arise in our heart as faith as to his righteousness. And then his faith will take up its abode in our heart, because to believe in his righteousness brings his nature that changes our believing as an anointed faith to Christ's faith. And it's no longer a human faith. It is faith of eternal life. And those people that are going wild with their freedoms out there are nothing but the dogs wallowing in the vomit, though religious they be. But them that are trying to do their best to please the Lord Jesus, though they stagger and they stumble, their works is not under justification as to their soul, but only as to their confession and surrender to the Heavenly Father as gratitude for what he hath done in perfecting their soul as to the inner life, giving them eternal life, and they are trying the more to go on to the full reward, in that Christ living within you by measure can go on to a full measure, the full stature, and you can have that perfectness to be as the Master is to be perfect, and he that overcometh can sit down in the throne. Heaven is his throne, in the throne with him, even as I overcame, he said, and am set down in the throne with my Father. So then it's very evident that what God is doing, he's doing it for you. And he hath made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the Jews going about to establish their own righteousness stumble at faith. The justification by faith. And though they sought the Lord all day long, Israel sought, and the Bible said that they never did find God. Though they sought after him with their own way of doings, as one that beateth the air, going about to establish their own righteousness. But The Bible said, and the Gentiles who sought not after God, but the Gentiles sought after the things of the world. Yet they were found of God and received the salvation which is by faith. So you see that God gives it to who He wants to give it to. So He gave it to us while we were yet in our sins. But He gave it to us knowing that this nature, that we were in ignorance and knew not, therefore we could not transgress the law to the extent as to Him charging it against us. So being in ignorance, He still saved us in our sins, because the blood is for atonement of ignorant sins. So He gave us that righteousness, knowing that when that nature went into us, that whosoever truly among the Gentiles, though there be few that find it, that whosoever truly received this nature, that this nature would bring them out of the world and make them conform completely as to whatever measure that is they received. Completely to the measure as to whatever they received, or the full measure of the body of the Lord Jesus, that this nature would cause them to bear the fruits of the Spirit, bringing them out. And so today He hath a bride. Let's sing a chorus together, can we? Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I made a steward of the mysteries. Sweep over my soul, sweep over. Remember now, that is not of faith, this sin. For if you cannot eat in faith, you're damned if you eat, because unbelief defiles. Sing it with me. Spirit over my soul, I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Can you sing that with me? For though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Precious Savior, oh, how I need Thee. Let's sing it like this now. Don't turn Him away. Oh, don't turn Him away. Come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Him in to stay. For oh, how you need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's hear His sweet voice. And don't turn Him away. There's room down at the cross for you. The altars are open. There is room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. You love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? There's room at the cross. Though many have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing this little chorus, brother or sister. Used to say in Brother Frank, praise the Lord. Brother Taylor said, I'll be glad when Sister Dale comes. Amen. All right, let's sing together. They'll come from the east and the west. Can you sing it with me? They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His house of faith and a glorious life divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in His crown to shine. Sing it with me. So they came from the east and the west, and they came from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed faith and the glow with His light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in His crown to shine. Come home, come home, it's supper time. Though the shadows are lengthening fast, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Can you sing that with me? Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus, and He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Let's sing this little chorus, can we, sister? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Sing that with me. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the ridge, and we'll never be unhappy again. Sing it again. Across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the bridge, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin, done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way, asked Him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love at school. He said, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. He said, across the bridge, there's no more pain, and the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy one more time. That across the bridge, there's no sorrow. He said, across the bridge, there's no more pain, and the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be happy again. Praise God. You know, a lot of people that's never been in pain and misery, sorrow, loss of loved ones, whatever it might be, they don't really know what it's like to know that there's another place to where you can be free from all those kind of things. You know. But it's so wonderful to be a Christian and to know that what the Lord is telling us is real. It's real. All right. So you love the Lord. We love the Lord. Maybe we sing another chorus anyway. There's so many beautiful choruses, so many wonderful choruses that we've heard as we travel around. So many beautiful, beautiful choruses. You're taking worldly entertainment, the people that grow a little stale, they get back in those parties and those frolics of the world, then they're stimulated and they are illuminated or activated with that singing and the emotion. And my, they're in captivity for months to come. And we should let the strength of God enter into us and praising the Lord. Let our faith go out to God. Because that's why we come here, just to stand around. We hear the word of the Lord and then we worship the Lord in song and in spirit. Serve the Lord to get strong so that when we go out, we can love one another and work together and do something for Christ in a great way. That's what he wants us to do. Keep our minds on him and to have a new song in our heart. Ask the Lord a lot of times to give me a new song. I was going down the road one day and Sister Betty was driving and I was just saying in my heart, I said, God, give me a song. Going down the road, you know, he gives me hundreds of songs. There's so many songs that we don't have on paper. We don't have wrote. And there's no record of, they're gone, you know. I was riding along and I said, give me a song, Lord. Cheer my heart. Give me a song. Inspire my heart. You know, David, he used to stir up his pure mind. And he'd sing a new song unto the Lord. And had a melodious heart. And he was a man after God's own heart. And I'd say, give me a song. As we rode along, I said, give me a song. And then all of a sudden, I heard something say, this is the song that I have given you. And I began to sing, give me a song, Lord. Give me a song. A song I can sing, Lord, all the day long. A song in the daytime and a song in the night. A song that will help me do everything right. Give us a key and see if we can sing that as a chorus, sister. Help me sing it, Brother Taylor and Dale. Now, Brother Taylor, he usually sings the. Give me a song, Lord. Oh, give me a song. Can you sing that with me? A song I can sing, Lord, all the day long. It's a song in the daytime. Song in the night. It's a song that will help me do everything right. Sing it. Give me that song, Lord. Oh, give me that song. A song I can sing, Lord, all the day long. Oh, it's a song in the daytime, a song in the night. It's a song that will help me do everything right. And then he goes on to say that he gave me a song. He gave me a song I can sing all the day long. And he goes on to say, and the song that he gave me was the song of the Lamb. So then tonight we have a song of the Lamb. And they stood, the Bible said, the book of Revelation, they stood on the sea of glass and they sang the song of the Lamb. And no one could sing it but the redeemed. And those that were of Israel, they sang the song of Moses. How beautiful. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. So he gave me a song. He gave me a song that I can sing all the day long. He gave me the song of the Lamb. Let's lift our hands up to love the Lord tonight. I won't hold you long. You've been a good audience. appreciate the morning service and tonight. And I trust that the Lord will bless you in all that you set your hand to do, because as Paul said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I'm always in remembrance of you and your loved ones, praying that God will bless you because you're my children. And I pray that God will bless you. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You're God's precious ones. You're God's. He's made you to be God's, to live forever. And I'm praying for you. Praying for you that everything will work right. Everything will be right for you. That the blessings of the Lord will be upon you as the latter rain that comes down from heaven. That you'll be overwhelmed with the goodness, with the love of our Lord Jesus. So then, while we're standing here with our eyes closed and our hands up, thinking about the things of God, call Brother Gary Armstrong to come up and dismiss us. And while Gary is coming to pray, let's consider one another, to look on the things of one another, to esteem others better than ourselves, to seek the welfare of another, that God may look on us the same way. For as you do unto others, so will he do unto thee. When you do these things unto others as to seek the welfare of others, then God will seek your welfare, and he will bless you abundantly until your cup is filled up and overflowing. Let's tutor our little ones and lead them into the things of God. And don't be so hard on us if we come up with a little program for the little ones that they might be able to do something for God and get inspired. And you know, the last time that we did it, it inspired some of the grown-ups. I guess some of you are still children at heart when it comes to getting a prize. But anyway, I think it would be good if you'd work with David, Paul, and these things, and see if we can help stimulate interest toward the things of God. He said, well, that isn't the way to do it, Brother Pike, to put money in it. I don't know. I built this church, and we put money and labor in it, and we did it to stimulate people's interest. And the Bible said to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That is to say, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. That is, give a little money, give a little help to constrain them, to compel them, that they may see the light, that your light may so shine, and men may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Set his lights to the end of the earth. So then think on Brother Pike and the wife and family when you're not too busy doing something else.